This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's access media station, Plains FM, and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
I'm really excited to have Rebecca Baylor join me today via Zoom for the podcast. Rebecca is a trained counsellor and a nervous system regulation and somatic coach, which I will ask her about. She's also an incredible author and illustrator of books such as Rainbow on My Heart and a newbie called Let's Go Flow, which I'm in deep love with. And we will give away a copy of this today. And we'll let you know how. Thanks for joining us for Being Real Parents with me, Anna, and my colleague and buddy,
Kate. We work in the parenting space.
And it's here where we'll talk about our worlds as parents, the good, the not so good, and the hilarious, and mix this with what we know about behaviour and psychology. So, Rebecca, beautiful to have you here with me. Can you just take us through nervous system regulation and somatic coach?
Thank you for having me. Yeah, I told you it was a bit of a mouthful, my introduction, but really what it is so somatic just refers to the body. And so a lot of the stuff that we do when we talk about therapy and counseling is really kind of top stuff, top down. So it's cognitive, you know, we're doing talk therapy, we're looking at beliefs and our thoughts and our behaviors. So the nervous system and somatic part of things is just working from the bottom up. And actually that's where emotions are, and that's where trauma gets stuck, and that's where things have to be processed at a deeper level. And so it's really just about working at kind of this a slightly less conscious layer and bringing that to the conscious. So we do a lot of practices that involve regulating the nervous system, which basically just means how do we help ourselves feel more calm when we're anxious, when we're angry, or when we're feeling really flat. But I think like anyone who's done therapy probably knows that it can be amazing, but it can also feel like something's missing. And that's what the somatic piece does for us.
Well, that's so interesting. So when you're so take us through your world. So you're working as a counsellor and a coach, and then you're also, how do you get all this in? Just tell me that.
It's been a really quite crazy last few years, because this is my seventh book. Since 2020.
Wow.
This is number seven. So I've got three children's books, and then the rest are adults' books.
Yes.
So my balance of work has been illustrating and writing and doing the books. And then on the other branch of it is I have a membership platform where people sort of join together as a big community, and they have heaps of courses and classes. So that's the bulk of my work, is running really accessible classes for people to come along and try this work out, and creating courses and creating content for Instagram. So, yeah, it's a beautiful varied workload and a business that kind of came about by accident. So, yeah, this is just my one piece of the puzzle, was getting to put these books into the world.
How did it come about by accident?
I was working as a counsellor full time, in a high school, actually, before I went on maternity leave to have my wee girl. And I had realised as I was working with people that it's really easy in therapy to be taught something like a skill or a technique, or to kind of have a light bulb moment. But then when you go out into the real world and life gets, you know, hectic as it does, and maybe you realize you need to use your tools, you just forget what they are because they're not established in your life yet. And so I thought, right, I'm going to start an Instagram page. I'll post some of these tools. I'll, you know, put that education out there for free. My clients can follow it. And that's all I ever thought it was going to be. And fast forward 5 years, and it's now got just over 400,000 people following it.
Wow.
And so it really was never meant to be this. And so it ended up being that it was, I didn't go back into, you know, the high school counselling and into one-on-one counselling. I realised I could serve kind of a wider audience if I did this with courses and with group coaching and with this kind of community classes focus. So totally an accident, still seem to be flying by the seat of my pants, but here we are.
Nicely done. And you being a counsellor, clearly you care a lot for people and particularly kids. So that movement into a counsellor, that was always there for you?
I think I most of my life knew I was going to do something with psychology or with counselling. The evolution into working more with somatic practices and things has been much more recent, realizing as I went through my own journey with anxiety and panic attacks, that was the missing piece for me to kind of overcome all of that. So it's always been a real passion of mine to work in mental health. So I've been in the field for about 15 years now, and I can't see myself ever leaving it. It's just, it's where I need to be.
So good.
You're listening to Being Real Parents with Kate and Anna on Plains FM 96.9.
So let's talk about Let's Go Flow, because it's become one of my favourites, bearing in mind I only read it a week ago. But I love it. I just think it's genius. And I'll tell you all of those reasons why. But tell me about why you came to writing this book, or how you came to write this book.
Well, thank you, first of all, because I'm so honoured for you to say that. That really, it just, honestly, even the tiniest one person who gives me feedback about this just makes my heart so happy, just to know that the book lands for some people. So thank you.
Yeah, it absolutely does, as a professional and as a mum, actually, too. Yeah.
Thank you. And I guess that's why the book came about, right? So I have a little girl, Micah, and she's 4. And I realize that so many of us in parenting now, we weren't taught any of this stuff. We weren't taught it growing up. We weren't taught it in school. And so what I have certainly found in my parenting journey is I've had to, you know, re-parent myself along the way. And so I just love the idea that we are in this generation now where we know about all this, we have the knowledge, and now we have the resources. So we get to equip our wee ones with emotional regulation skills. Executive function is something, this is what this book kind of is about. It's a big piece of the puzzle that so many people just don't even know what that is. And so it's just, to me, to be able to maybe bring this for parents, not only to educate them and to give them the practical tools, but to think that our little kids are getting read a book that's fun and interactive but is developing this for them. I'm just like, how lucky, how amazing that we can do this for our little ones now and just set them up, just teen years, adult years, set them up with that knowledge and that experience that, yep, emotions are going to come and go, they're normal, and this is how we can manage them. And I just think I would love to have had these skills when I was younger. And I'm excited for kids to have them now.
Yeah, absolutely. Executive functioning isn't a word that we hear at the supermarket. Do you want to talk us through that?
So it's basically like I think of it like a little manager in your brain.
Yeah.
That helps to kind of guide your life and develop all these different skills that we need to function. So it basically helps you to set goals, to plan, to adapt, to get things done, to manage emotions, to manage impulses. So it's a kind of broad overview. What executive function covers is working memory, attention and focus, inhibition and impulse control, emotional regulation, which is such a big one and a really big piece of this, as well as things like organization, planning, you know, initiating a task, getting it done, self-monitoring. So these are things that we are not born with. And so our little ones do not have these skills. We know they don't have these skills, right? When you're trying to get a kid out the door to get their shoes on and they're having a meltdown, they don't have a lot of the executive function online, and it can feel like we don't either. These skills kind of, they can be developed and supported at any age, and that includes adults. But they really rapidly develop between kind of 3 and 5 years old. And so it's a really good time to come in and start fostering them, and then they just keep on developing throughout primary, throughout teen years. So yeah. Everyone develops at a different pace, but that's a kind of broad overview of what executive function is.
That's
a little manager in our brain.
Yeah, the manager of our brain. Beautiful. And actually, I love your definition of that at the end of the book as well, because I went kind of looking for that, thinking we might need to know what that is. But tick, 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 tick. All good. So this book, I'd be recommending it to the parents that I work with. I'd be recommending it to the teachers that I work with. And also I'm thinking professionals like me too. Is that what you're thinking in terms of the audience for this book?
Yeah, 100%. It's just the same as, I'm not sure if you've seen my other book, Big Feelings. Mm-hmm. Same as that one. You know, they're kind of designed to be, yes, it's a kid's book. You know, Let's Go Flow especially is just really like a fun interactive. So the kids don't have any idea that they're, you know, learning anything through it. It just feels fun for them. But I want our parents, our teachers, our professionals, as you say, to have that knowledge that there's this layer happening underneath it. And the point of difference of Big Feelings and Let's Go Flow is that big section at the back. So they're really full of resources and really practical ideas for parents, for teachers, for professionals, so that they can go away and actually put some stuff in place. So it's like, yes, it's for our kiddies, but it's really for us as well. And I've had so many people from Big Feelings too say that as an adult they're now using the skills in the back of the book, some of the tools. It's great because they're the same. They work across all ages.
Yeah. My youngest daughter is 8, and when I read the book, I thought, I wonder what she'd make of this. So I also brought her in to have a look too. And, you know, the first page is about Flo getting ready for school, and she's got a little checklist there of the things that she needs to take with her. And Lulu immediately went off and got herself a notepad and paper to write down things so that she could remember, tick them off, you know, make sure that Flo had them all. And I thought that was rather beautiful. And it's interesting, you know, because I was kind of thinking that she was old for this book, but so not. She, I'm just going to rabbit on about how good the book is now. But the other thing that I noticed about her too is that she, when you do the five finger breathing, or Flo does the five finger breathing, she did trace her hands and do the breathing exercise alongside Flo, and then also recognised that she could do that too at school. And I thought, there's the magic right there.
Oh, that's so cool to hear it. And you see, and it's so subtle, right? Like, you're just reading a story, you know, and it, I think for them, it's also really non-threatening, because it's like they're not being sat down and taught something by us, which I know with my little firecracker, if I'm trying to teach her things, you know, it's real hit and miss. Sometimes she's game and other times she's not.
Yeah.
But this is such a lovely way to kind of introduce those things. And, man, case in point with your daughter, that's so cool to see her then immediately go and try it out and apply those things. How amazing.
I actually was really I was really impressed too with the impact of the book on me, because what it did was it made me empathize with a child's perspective about, actually, we think, you know, they pack their bag, they go to school, they come home, they eat a snack, they, you know, and we make this assumption that children's worlds are simple and, you know, they're so lucky because they don't have to worry about things and plan and stuff like that. But they so are, and they're so managing themselves all over their day. And I that was such a great reminder for me.
Oh, that's really, really cool. Yeah, and you're so right. It seems such simple stuff to us. You know, their frustration about maybe not being able to zip up a zipper.
Yeah.
You know, but for them, it may be like the first time they're experiencing these really, really big, overwhelming emotions. And as they get older as well, it's really disarming for them to experience those big emotions but not have the executive function skills functioning at our level, where they can regulate it super easily. So that can be frustrating for them too.
Mm.
If they're smart kids, you know, going, why can't I regulate my emotions? They just come over me like a tidal wave. So it's lovely to to take that step back and see that overall context of our kiddies' worlds.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought that was, super magic, actually. And the book, amazingly interactive, purposefully interactive, which we've kind of talked about as well. You clearly kind of decided to work that into the book because it's unusual, that children get involved with the book to such a level, unless, you know, we're brilliant readers and lots of parents are, where they'll actually, you know, meet their child in the pictures and do that. But this forces us to do that, which I just love.
Yeah, I noticed, and there's a few books out there like it with interactive stuff, but not a lot.
No.
And especially none I've found that teach them how to do emotional regulation or, you know, to actually practice these skills along the way. Mm. And I really find, especially with my little one, like it's that point of difference that keeps them super, super engaged in the book and in the story.
Yeah.
And I think as well, like, some parents, as you say, are going to be naturally amazing and able to go, oh, you know, what season do you think it is judging on this picture, or, you know, come up with those questions to explore something deeper. But actually many of us don't know how to do that, and that feels, you know, odd. And so there's sort of even things in the back of the book to go back to certain pages, like questions to explore things on a deeper level. And that's going to be really cool, just to foster more conversations between the reader and the wee one, and just extend that one-on-one time, and also just get their little minds working a bit as well. So yeah, lots of fun things to do.
Yeah, totally. That's a great way to keep coming back to this book, isn't it?
Yeah,
you
can get very sick of reading the same book over and over again as a parent, so it can be quite fun.
Do you know what, though? That's how I learned to get lost in the pictures with children, because while I do love Dr. Seuss, I do hate Dr. Seuss, because at 7:30 at night, I'm just done, you know. And so reading a tongue twister of all things is just the worst for me. And so when that book has been brought to me by any of my three kids, I often just explored the pictures together and what people, you know, the emotions of the characters, and, you know, whether or not we felt they were being friendly or something like that, so that I could just avoid all of those words.
Yeah. It's very wise, very wise. We all have the books that they bring us and we go, internal groan.
It's true, isn't it? I feel guilty saying that. But and I do love Dr. Seuss, but I love Dr. Seuss at about, I don't know, 9 a.m., not at 7:30 on a Wednesday.
Yeah, you've used your words, the brain is gone.
Yeah, it's all done. Books are becoming increasingly popular, particularly those that support emotional, social literacy and, not cognitive functioning learning. This is very new, I'm seeing them a lot. I review for the Mental Health Foundation, and I love them. I absolutely adore them. But why do you reckon books are such a great way to support our kids, apart from what we've already talked about?
One other thing, I guess it's probably repeating, but it's that third point of reference.
Yeah.
So it's super non-threatening as a way of exploring and teaching things, because it's not you sitting down saying, I'm going to teach you about what to do when you are angry. You don't have to do that. So it gives you this kind of third point of reference where you can explore other characters who are struggling with something, and other characters in the book who are going through, and then you're teaching through that. So it's super non-threatening. For our little ones having that, it's play based, right? It's fun and it's play based to read, and we know that in terms of thinking about the nervous system, play brings you into something called ventral vagal, which is in our calm, parasympathetic, rest, digest, connection, empathy, that beautiful part of the nervous system, and that's what play does. Mm-hmm. Is it's that really fun, this lovely way to connect and develop attention, develop focus and all of that. But it's also just one-on-one time with a parent and a wee one. Because we've got busy lives, right, busy days, and it can feel really hard sometimes to put aside one-on-one time. And a book, I think, is a really just a quite a gorgeous way to do that.
Yeah, I love what you say about play and how integral it is to children's development, but also our connection and relationship with kids as well. And books are that, is that beautiful time, isn't it? You know, I think about, you know, you're always near or close to your child when you're reading to them. Generally there'll be touch involved with that. So it's actually kind of like an extension of attachment, hey?
It is. It's so lovely. And all of that stuff is happening.
Yeah.
With no effort other than just reading a book. You don't even realise it's just all going on in the background. And the other thing about books, I think, is it provides a really beautiful counter to TV, because there's a lot, right, of TV and screen time. And a lot of the programs these days as well are quite fast and flashy and really intense sort of dopamine on their brains. Yeah. And a book isn't. You know, it's slow. We get to sniff the pages, touch the pages, just explore a static image. And there's something really special about that in terms of its ability just to bring everything down a bit.
Yeah, that's a really nice, yeah, because it's so tangible, isn't it? You're holding something, you're smelling something, there's nothing like the smell of a new book, is there? Is it just me?
I know, yeah. No, you must always put your nose right in the middle of a book.
Absolutely, yeah. Even a new journal or anything like that, yeah, absolutely. Sorry. We should also talk about your other books as well as lovely Let's Go Flow, because I know Rainbow in Your Heart and I know Big Emotions. Tell us about more about what you have available, because I'd love to buy them all.
Oh, thank you. The other ones are all adult books, and so the very first book I put out was called Note to Self. These adult books are also really heavily illustrated, and so they're again for adults, super non-threatening and easy. And so Note to Self is about grounding, about emotions. It's really good for anxiety. And then there's the Note to Self Journal, which is a book that you can write in, and there's sort of interactive worksheets and logs and trackers and journal prompts.
Nice.
And then Words of Comfort came out, which is a very illustrated book on grief, helping you navigate through grief, loss and change. And then my more recent adults book is called Be Your Best Self, and it's much more of a read, this one, and it focuses on 10 sort of key areas that people get tripped up in their life a lot, the people that I have, that my clients have. So it looks at everything from kind of people-pleasing, boundaries, highly sensitive people, perfectionism, anxiety, emotional regulation, inner critic. So goes over a lot of different things. So that's the suite of books that are out at the moment.
Since 2020, did you say? That's extraordinary.
Yeah, it's been busy. It's been busy.
We always end on a we need to let people know where they can buy your books and have them available. I know that I picked this up from Whitcalls, Let's Go Flow, but I know you also have your own website as well. But we normally end with top tips, and I wonder whether or not we end with top tips on supporting our kids with their cognitive functioning today. Is that going to feel all right for you? I just kind of like popped that on you.
That's fine, absolutely. Yeah.
So number one, let's say I'm a parent and I really want to support my child with their cognitive functioning. What's number one that I need to be doing?
So I think a really big thing just to have going on behind the scenes is the recognition of brain development. So we have to give our little ones credit and ourselves to know that they don't come into the world with that fully functioning prefrontal cortex, that, you know, logical, rational part of their brain. So it's about a lot of repetition. It's a lot of co-regulation. It's a lot of just our relationship with them and just that patience to know that it'll be emotions that come through first, and then over time they learn that cognitive functioning and the regulation skills. a really big tip and one of the big things, I guess, that I try to do is just modeling. So it's just teaching them by them witnessing you. So them watching you problem solve, and you can share your process out loud. And there's lots of subtle ways to model. I always model, whether it's intentional or not, I always model making mistakes.
Yeah.
And then how do we go about fixing that? We, you know, try to model strength-based thinking and strength-based in the way that we talk. And then probably a final tip would just be get good at repair. So we're going to make mistakes, and it's just what's going to happen. We're people, we're humans. And so if we can get really good at repair, we also give them the skills to get really good at owning mistakes and apologizing and knowing it's okay to mess things up, and that's how we actually learn.
Yeah. It's like, being the people that we want our little people to be. And generally they are those. What I notice about our kids is that they tend to end up being better versions of us, which I think is rather gorgeous. Yeah. But if we're intentional about adding those things in, then, man, it's going to be, make for an extraordinary little being and adult in the longer term.
Yeah, absolutely. And I really want to give that full permission to just pour into your own cup as a parent as much as possible too, because if you're dysregulated, you can't regulate them.
Mm.
You know, so we really, it's such a cliche, you know, about oxygen mask on yourself first and all that, but you know, how can you give to someone else when your own cup is empty?
Yeah.
So that's such a key thing for us as parents, is to just completely without guilt and shame, take that time to pour into ourselves.
Yeah, knowing that if we're okay, they're okay. Yeah.
Mm.
How do we buy your books? We're coming to your website, are we?
So they are the easiest way to get them if you're, you know, in New Zealand, is just to go into the Warehouse, Whitcools, Paper Plus, all those kind of places. They've all got them. My website is a great place for courses, classes, other resources. I've got hundreds of digital resources like the Calm Corner and things like that. But bookstores is probably the best place to grab the books.
So we're going to give away a copy of Let's Go Flow. And basically all you need to do is comment and share one of the posts around this podcast and and this beautiful work that Rebecca is doing for us. An absolute pleasure having you with me today, Rebecca. I've really enjoyed talking to you. I've really enjoyed reading your books, and you've given me lots of insights and thoughts to take into my own parenting and my own practice. So I just want to thank you for that.
Oh, thank you. It's been lovely to talk to you too. I really appreciate your time.
And we need your website, Instagram details to add to this, because I'm sure that people will be wanting to look you up. We will also, of course, tag you in.
Yes, people can find me. The Instagram page is @journey_2_wellness_, all of the underscores. But if you just start typing Journey to Wellness, it will come up on Instagram. And the website is www.journeytowellness.online.
Beautiful. Thank you, and I'm sure that we will stay in touch.
Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thanks for being with us today.
We hope you've learned that while parenting is challenging sometimes, that's totally normal. It's been fun having you with us. Keep being amazing. Bye!